Let us pray. God of love, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. I found this amazing story on the internet. Patrick Green was known by his neighbors in Henderson County, Texas, as a professed atheist. He was notorious for threatening to sue Henderson County each year over the courthouse manger scene at Christmas time. The reason? Green says his experience with Christians through the years was of narrow-minded individuals who treat him unkindly. My wife and I never had a Christian do anything nice for us, Green said. In fact, just the opposite. Well, that changed when 63-year-old Green learned he had a detached retina. He was forced to give up driving his cab and resigned himself to impending blindness. Eye surgery would cost $20,000, and he didn't even have the money to pay bills or buy groceries. Jessica, a member of a local Christian church in Henderson County, learned of Green's troubles, and she saw it on the internet, and she felt compelled to help. So she asked her pastor to contact Green to find out more about his needs. Green told the pastor that he didn't want the money for the operation because there was a chance the surgery would fail. And on top of that, there was a chance that retina would become detached again down the road. Green, as you might imagine, is not what you would call a positive thinker. Green then told the pastor that he had more immediate needs. He said they needed groceries. The pastor said he would see what he could do. Green said he was flabbergasted when the Christian folks made good on their promise and sent him a check for $400. The money went to help pay the rent and provide the necessities from the grocery store. Green says he's so amazed by the generosity of those church folks in Henderson County that he's thinking of writing a book. I'm going to call it Real Christians of Henderson County, Texas. These people are acting like what the Bible says a Christian should act like. Jessica says there are a couple of folks in the church who expressed resentment about helping someone who's been such a vocal atheist. That's not surprising. There were always a few spoilsports in every congregation, Jessica said. Jessica, who has a different viewpoint though, said she thinks it's wonderful what God has done. And as for Green, he says he's gonna show his appreciation by buying a star for the top of next year's nativity scene at the courthouse. In our lesson today, Jesus is making his way through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Can't you imagine how thrilled the people were to see him? And then Matthew says something quite significant about Jesus' attitude toward the people. He says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Can you think of a better description of the mass of people both then and today? Harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Can you not see a flock of sheep milling around in a pen? Frightened and confused, they stumble blindly, bumping helplessly into one another because they don't know which way to turn. How like so many people we see every day. You do realize, don't you, that many religious people, including many religious leaders, look on these same crowds with scorn, not compassion. It's so easy to look down on people according to the way they look, or the way that what they wear, or the way they talk. I read a story about the wife of a megachurch pastor, who is also a best-selling author, about an experience their family had one day at an IHOP restaurant. They had about an hour in an otherwise hectic day to spend together as a family, and she was hoping for a quiet, calm meal. About halfway through their dinner, though, the hostess seated at a table right next to theirs, a single mom with three young children. She didn't notice at first, but soon it became very clear that at least two of the three children had some kind of slight developmental issue. Their mother had very little control over them. They were loud and they were very distracting. When the meal was over, her husband took two of their children onto the church for an evening program. The middle daughter stayed behind with her to pay the bill. She was still frustrated that they'd not been able to have a peaceful family meal as she had hoped, thanks to the family sitting next to them. But of course, she didn't say anything. Fortunately, though, her daughter did. She leaned over to her mom and said, "Mom, I have an idea." Then she looked toward the woman with the three unruly children and said, Let's pay for their lunch. Out of the mouths of babes, let's pay for their lunch. And that's exactly what they did. It made for an exciting experience for the daughter. And the mom learned a lesson in compassion from her very sensitive and thoughtful daughter. My friends, that's what compassion looks like. Jesus had compassion on the crowds because they were harassed and hopeless, like sheep without a shepherd, sort of like that mother with her three unruly children. John, in his gospel, after giving us that wonderful verse that said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, goes on to write, for the son came into the world not to condemn the world, but that through the world, that the world through him might be saved. What a startling piece of good news that is. The son came into the world not to condemn the world. That means there's hope for everyone in the world, even us. Yesterday, I joined more than 1,000 people from Elmhurst, a crowd that was well over 90% white, for the Elmhurst Family Walk for Racial Justice. It was a well-organized event, which was an opportunity for learning and compassion. And as I was leaving the event and walking home, I crossed across the Elmhurst College campus where I encountered a guy who was just out for a walk. He's someone I know from my coaching world, as he was a standout runner at York High School in the mid-1970s. He's kind of a gruff old guy, spent his life in the Navy, where he ended up being an admiral. He often shows up at our meets when we're successful, but he always shows up when we're not, always with some pointers and some ways that we can do better so that we don't let down the tradition of his great high school program. Anyway, he asked if I participated in that thing in the park, and I said that I had. He then mocked me with the words, so you're going to fix racism by walking in a park in Elmhurst. I simply replied, probably not. But I do feel like I learned something today about what it's like to live in a world that doesn't care enough about you to at least listen to what you have to say. I then told him to have a nice afternoon, and I made my way on home. It would have been easy for Christ to condemn the crowds. That's what many preachers have done through the years. Condemn the crowd to their sins. Let them feel the fires of hell lapping at their feet. Many people, like Patrick Green in the story I began my sermon with, the professed atheist in Henderson County, Texas, associate Christians with condemnation. But Jesus took a different approach. Jesus had compassion for the crowd. That was what Jesus was all about. And that's what you and I are to be about too. Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Who's he talking about? Who are the workers sent out to harvest the field? At the time, it was his disciples. Today, it's us. But please notice the motivation is the same in both cases. We are to go into the harvest fields because of our compassion for people. That's who we are and what we're about. We're not a business enterprise. Our motive is not a more impressive bottom line. Our goal is not to enhance our institutional pride. Our aim is not to be the biggest and best church in town. We are called to go out into the world because there are people outside the walls of our church who are confused, angry, hurting, and dying. There are families that are disintegrating, young minds being destroyed by the social ills in their community. There are seniors who are feeling like they're forgotten. There are people outside in our community who need our help. And we are to make Jesus real to them by showing them his love and his compassion. You see, one problem in the church today is that some of us have never been in a situation where we really needed help ourselves. Many of us in this affluent society have lived somewhat charmed lives. We may not consider ourselves wealthy, but in contrast to more than half of the world's people, we really are. It's like a story of a vicar in England who went to visit one of his well-off members in his congregation. It was winter and bitterly cold outside. The vicar was well wrapped up in a heavy overcoat. As the visit drew to a close, the vicar told the man that he wished to ask him something confidential. This caused the man to accompany the vicar outside. The man didn't bother to put on his jacket. He didn't think it would be necessary. After all, what could the vicar want from him that could take that long? But the vicar, cozy in his heavy overcoat, began talking about one thing and then another until his host was literally shivering in the cold. The man repeatedly tried to find out what the vicar wanted to ask him so he could go back inside. But the vicar just kept making small talk. "Wouldn't you like to go inside again, vicar?" asked the shivering man. But the vicar just serenely kept on chatting. At last, the wealthy man said with chattering teeth, "Vicar, if you don't ask me what you want right now, I'm going to die of cold." "Sir," the vicar said, "there is a family where the father has been laid off. I need enough money from you to supply fuel to get them through this cold winter." Immediately, the rich man peeled off a roll of notes from his wallet and handed it to the vicar. The man explained his generosity like this: "Vicar, now I know why you left me standing so long out here in the cold. You knew that never in my comfortable life had I really been cold. Now that I've experienced this misery for myself, my heart is opened up to a need of which I before was unaware." Many of us are unaware of how some of our neighbors live. We're simply unconscious to the misery in some people's lives. Jesus knew what it was to give to people who couldn't give back. That's what he did for us. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And there were so many of them, just like today. And like then, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What then is to be our prayer? Jesus tells us concisely, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." I want you to join me in praying daily that we can become a more compassionate church. Deep in our hearts, we know that is what Christ wants out of us. He wants us to care enough about people to become involved in their lives, to become involved in their issues. He wants us to be willing to take time to show love to all people, young and old, the down and out, as well as the up and in. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers, us, into his harvest field. Amen.